Welcome to Gateway Church's podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you're encouraged by today's message.
This is what God placed in my spirit for you today. Here it is. Acts chapter 28. Acts 28. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold, just like today. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. He put it on a fire, and a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Now, one version would read that it bit his hand. But Paul shook the snake off, verse 5, into the fire and suffered no ill effects. How in the world did Paul get to Malta with all this drama? Like, what just happened? I want to speak to you on the subject matter as we kick off this year. An anointing born out of adversity changes the world. The subtext is this, and you'll get it in a moment. Come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. Come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. If you're taking any notes, and good luck with that. It is what it is. Number one. You and your house are anointed for Rome, which means greater things. Your destiny is not based on what's in front of you. Your destiny is based on who's inside of you. Who's inside of you? Acts 27, verse 1. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, for Rome, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. Somebody shout, Rome. Now we get the story. Here's Paul. He ends up in Malta. There's a shipwreck. Literally, he lost the ship. He ends up in Malta. He's drenched. All of a sudden, he's trying to get himself heated up. And then he gets more brushwood. And in the brushwood was a viper, a snake, connecting with the fire, with the pit already created by those that were hosting him. All of a sudden, the snake comes out, gets a hold of his hand. He shakes it off, and he gets to Rome. The question is, how did Paul, why? He was on his way to Rome. What was Rome? Rome. Paul was on his way to Rome, not for a mani-pedi, not for a recital, not for a gathering of the Road to Damascus Association. He was on his way to Rome because four chapters prior, God gave Paul his biggest assignment. Acts 23:11. That night, the Lord appeared to Paul and said, "Be encouraged, Paul, as you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem. You must preach the good news in Rome as well." Paul was on his way to Rome to bring the good news, to preach the news on the biggest stage of the ancient world. It's the preaching of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're on our way to Rome. Let me speak to you metaphorically and spiritually speaking. We're about to see the gospel impact more people than ever before in human history. Now, I know, but the scholars have projected, we read in the corresponding survey, the detractors, the naysayers. We are about to see the gospel of the risen Savior reach every nation, every ethnicity, every generation, every demographic, without exception. You can't stop God. I'll repeat that. You can't stop God. Isaiah 14:27, I, the Lord of hosts, have planned it. Who can stop me now? Matthew 24:14, the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the entire world. The nations will hear it, and then the end will come. We're about to see a gospel explosion like never before. Now, you may be saying, yeah, you know, that's great wishful thinking. That's like, you know, prophetic hyperbole. It's spaghetti on the wall. It's optimistic. It's Pollyannish. It's all the good things. But in reality, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Listen, God is up to something. No joke. Let me submit to you for your prayerful consideration the following. The evidence. So it's not just rhetorical. Since I was here 1 year ago, God is up to something. In the past year, let me show you what took place. In the past 12 months, and this is what happened. Go back a year ago. Right after this conference, there was an NFL football player, Damar Hamlin. He dies live on Monday Night Football. National television, this young man dies. He's dead. Both teams coalesce, start praying, and the young man who was dead came back to life. Now, y'all, I don't know if you get the impact of this. This is Monday Night Football. Dun, 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 Monday Night Football. He dies, teams pray, come back to life. The next day, do your Google due diligence, please, go on YouTube. The next day on ESPN, the host of the program looks into the camera and says, yeah, I want to speak to you about what happened yesterday. Yesterday, we saw this tragic event, and right now he's doing better, but we saw this event where Damar Hamlin died. And this is what he says. He died, but both teams got together and people all around the world began to pray, and the same man who was dead came back to life. On ESPN. Over here, you know, lady says, yeah, but now there's some issues here, issues regarding, you know, safety protocols. We have concussion protocols. Maybe they shouldn't hit it, but the sternum. There may be some modification regarding, and the guy over here comes back and says, that's not the point. The point is this, he died. People prayed. He came back to life. Over here, the other guy goes like, there are some playoff implications now. There are some playoff implications, whether or not the schedule, should they cancel, should not. The host comes back, he goes, he doubles down, he goes, yeah, I get that, that's true and all, but that's not the point. Here's the point. He died. He was dead. He died. People prayed, and he came back to life. Go ahead, look it up. And then the host says, I think we should pray. ESPN. And he says, do you mind if we pray? And everybody else says, well, let's pray. And usually the camera would just pivot, commercial break. They went rogue. They're off script. But they didn't. And they begin to pray on ESPN. And in the middle of his prayer, the host says, because we serve the God that has the power to heal. God is up to something. God is up to something. God is up to something. Immediately thereafter, what a coincidence. Immediately thereafter, what takes place? In a place called Kentucky, Asbury, Kentucky. Ever heard of Asbury, Kentucky? Asbury, Kentucky, a bunch of young people in this university, they begin to just look for God, and in the same identical demographic, Dean, is the most non-Christian demographic in American history. It seems God never got the memo. And God said, Holy Spirit, go. And these young Generation Z young people, they couldn't stop praying and reading the Bible and repenting of sin and acknowledging the sovereignty of Christ. And people traveled from all over the world because God showed up in Asbury, Kentucky. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Generation Z will not be the lost generation. It will be the most Christian generation. I'm gonna say that one more time. Your children will not be lost. Your children will not go to hell. Your children and your children's children and your children's children will have an encounter with the risen Savior. Our children will be saved. Right after that, our mutual friend, Greg Laurie, he produces this film about, you know, the holy hippies. And he was expected to make 5-7 million box office receipts. This is like 50 million plus later. Just a few months ago, he baptized over 4,000 at Pirates Cove in Orange County, California. People coming to Jesus, like, what's going on? You follow Drip? Right now, since then, even after that, I follow, the name is irrelevant, but you could Google the neurobiology head of Stanford University. And this man, who is one of those brilliant people on the planet, in the past year, I was speaking to Pastor Robert in the green room about this, he has an encounter with Jesus Christ, one of the smartest men on the planet. Stanford University neurobiology chair comes along and says, he goes on his podcast and says, you've known me for blah, 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 all my research, all my studies, but now I want you to know me for this. I've had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I've had an encounter. And for all the Latino folk, for this, in the past few months, a mí me gusta la gasol. Daddy Yankee. You may not know who Daddy Yankee is. No, he doesn't play for the Yankees. He's one of the most like iconic Latino artists on the planet. And he gets on the stage and says, I just have to do it. I've had a personal encounter with the risen Savior Jesus. I've given my life to Christ. And then in Amsterdam, we gathered. We gathered in Amsterdam, about 7,000 strong.
pastors and leaders, network leaders and so forth, to sign an agreement,
that by 2033, every single person on the planet would receive a viable presentation of the gospel of Jesus. I don't know if you know what that means. There are billions of people right now. You may think with the internet, with social media. No, there are governments that restrict access. But we are believing by faith that by 2033, every single group, well, I'm not saying everyone's going to get saved, but they will hear a viable presentation of the gospel of Jesus. Does Gateway come in agreement at this first conference?
Are we streaming? We are, so I'm going to say it.
All the nations will hear the gospel of Jesus. This means secular nations, Christian nations, Muslim nations, communist nations, socialist nations, woke nations. Every nation will hear the gospel of Jesus. Every generation will hear the gospel of Jesus. Millennials, Generation Z, Generation Alpha. And every letter in the alphabet will hear the letter. Yes, every letter in the alphabet will hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I mean every letter, AARP, LGBTQ, are you down with OPP? From A to Z, everyone will hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he shed his blood to forgive us of all of our sins. And on the third day, he came out of the grave to give you and me eternal, new, and abundant life. If you believe, if you are not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16, and you believe that it is still the power of God unto salvation, say amen. Amen.
If you truly believe it, touch the neighbor you like the most and tell him, come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome.
If you really believe it, touch the neighbor you barely tolerate. You know who that is. Touch that neighbor and tell him, come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. If you're ready for revival, praise like you believe it, worship like you believe it, pray like you believe it, live like you believe it, think like you believe it, serve like you believe it. You and your house, number two, are anointed for the storm. There it is. The storm does not define you. The storm reveals who you really are. Wow.
All right, Paul, you're going to Rome.
Woo. Gracias, Señor. Going to Rome. Never gave him the specifics though. Paul, you're going to Rome. So all of a sudden, he's on the way to Rome. You would think that he's going to Rome on a Norwegian cruise line. Royal Caribbean. Celebrity X, Carnival. And for all the bougie people, Viking cruises.
No, he's going to Rome on a prison ship. Didn't get that in the memo. Yeah, all right. He's on his way to Rome. He's on his way to Rome on a prison ship, and all of a sudden, Acts 27, a nor'easter, a storm hits. And that storm begins to just batter the ship, slapping it around like a cheap piñata. That's slightly racist, sorry about that. Like a, just slapping it around like something, all right? So he's being battered, and
this is what the Bible says. I'm going to read it. The ship was caught by the storm. So we gave way to it to be driven by the storm. They preferred to be driven by the storm. And as a result, the Bible says, verse 18, they were violently battered. So what drives you? We are all driven people. We are either driven by the past or the future, by the pathetic or the prophetic, by problems or promises, by nightmares or dreams, by the flesh or the spirit, by Google searches or godly searches. We're either driven by drama or by destiny, by trauma or by testimony. So what drives you? Are you driven by the praise of others? Are you driven by criticism? Here it is as it pertains to the opinions regarding you by others. If their praise did not make you, their criticism cannot break you. We have too many Christians that spend more time reacting to what comes from hell rather than what comes from heaven. We have too many believers driven by the winds of cancel culture, ideologies, and social constructs that are counterintuitive to the word and the spirit of Almighty God. Too many Christians driven by opinions and feelings instead of being driven by truth and love. What drives you? Are you driven? What drives?
Oh boy, here we go. Full disclosure. Hi, Padre, ayúdanos aquí por favor.
I kind of lived a portion of this message last year, and Pastor Robert is totally up to par with this because he was part of this conversation. So last year, I get a call, right before last year, or I get a call, but last year came to fruition. But I got a call, Pastor Sam, wrapping up 2022. Pastor Sam, a ministry, I'm going to be very, because of ethical parameters, liability disclaimers, and insurance policies, I'm going to be as nuanced and whimsical as possible. I get a call, and the call was from a very prominent ministry in California, very prominent. And the call was, Pastor Sam, we did not, in essence, we did not survive COVID. And we've lost 1,500 people. We have $25 million of debt. Our property is, as you well know, a large property. It has three sanctuaries, a 3,000-seater, a 1,018-seater, and a 300-seater, 40-plus acres, et cetera, et cetera. It has a school. Pastor Sam, would you consider coming in, merging, and taking over the ministry? And so I went like, wow, because our church in California, we pastor, by the grace of God, a very multi-ethnically diverse church. It's Caucasian, which means white. It's African-American, which means black. And then there's Asian, Native Americans, Latinos, and people that don't check any of the boxes. Because they don't want to. So it's beautiful. It looks like the kingdom, but we grew, and God gave us a great harvest post-COVID to such a degree. The county came in, true story, county came in and gave us and said, you've exceeded your maximum capacity. Y'all going to have to make some decisions here. So we were like, this is an answer prayer. All right, so we met. We had our initial meetings, our due diligence. So I met with the leadership and so forth. We had conversations. And about right after five conversations, we get the call. Pastor Sam, let's formalize this. I want you to come in with members of your board. We will be here with our board members. Let's sign an MOU. Let's proceed with the execution of this merger. Wow. I'm going, this is it. So we met. They never told me the questions. We met right beforehand, an hour beforehand. And George, my assistant, his wife is part of our board. She was there. And so we met beforehand. We went to a coffee shop whose name I will not mention. Is the one with Jezebel in the cup. So So we met. It was pretty convenient. We met. So we met. Guys, what are you going to ask? All right, Pastor Sam, you're going to ask questions about fiduciary governance. You're going to ask about integration of systems, probably attrition on their side and what we do. And all right. Process, 1 year. Get that. All right, line up. They're probably going to ask about whether or not you're going to have a Spanish service, Slavic service, et cetera, et cetera. Got that. Love risk management, liability. Got it. All right. Are we ready? Let's go. We left that place. We left Jesse in the cup, and we crossed the street, and we came over, and we approached. We watched the meeting. I'm there, and my board members are there, and we sat down here, and I sat down. I'm ready. I'm going, look, they never gave me a heads up. What were the questions? And this, just like this, this is we have witnesses on both sides to substantiate this, not embellished for the purpose of getting you to go, ooh, no, this is exactly how it happened. I sit down. We're here. They're there, right, across the table, and Pastor Sam, thank you for coming with your board. Well, we want to begin with the following question. I'm going, yes, go ahead. And I'm wired. I'm caffeinated. Very caffeinated. So go. All right, boom. Prayed up. No joke. We had our prayer team, our intercessors interceding. We're ready to do this. And here was the question. Pastor Sam, we want to begin with this first question. First question. Pastor Sam, our church, we lean left. We want to know, where do you lean? This is my response. Because, so help me, first of all, you got to put this in perspective. By the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, I know my assignment on this planet and as a preacher and producer and all that we do, but I'm a comedian. The first thing that came to my mind was not a prophetic enclosure, it was not a thus saith the Lord, it was Sam, you have enough material here for the next 5 to 10 years, man. You're good, buddy. But this really happened. I looked up and nothing would come out of my mouth, which is both a sign and a wonder. And this, my face, I just couldn't, nothing, and this is me. I went, We lean left. Where do you lean? And I'm fighting with the Holy Spirit. I am. Because I'm fighting with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling me, Sammy, say it. And I'm going like, no quiero. Sam, say it. Because if I would say what the Lord is telling me to say, I'm going to lose that building, which I did. He said, say it. So I went like, no. And the Lord said, Sammy, Holy Spirit versus Sam, Holy Spirit always wins. So I finally looked up, and my team was looking at me like, you're not saying anything. Like, you know. So I finally looked up. Well, we lean left. Where do you lean? And I went like this. I went, thank you for your question. With great due deference at our church, we don't lean.
We stand.
We stand. We stand on the word of God. We stand on the promises of God. We stand on the finished work of Christ. Whatever the Bible calls holy, we call holy. Whatever the Bible calls sin, we call sin. We don't need Christians and churches that lean one way or another. We need a church to rise up in America that will stand. Somebody shout if you're standing for him. Stand, 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 stand. Lift up your hands, lift up your hands. 1 Corinthians 16:13, I feel the Lord. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. I'm calling right now this first conference to the entire church in America and around the world. Stop leaning, start standing. Stop leaning, start standing. It's time for the church to stop leaning, start standing. Stand up for biblical truth. Stand up for righteousness and justice. And I'm going to get in trouble again. Stand up for our children. Stand up for holy sexuality. Stand up for the family. Stand up for godliness. Stand up for life. Stand up for religious liberty. Stand up for biblical justice. Stand up for racial unity. Stand up for the gospel. And don't get offended. Do not just stand in the church. Stand up in the school board meeting. Stand up in the voting booth. Lift up your hands if you're standing. You are standing. Ephesians 6:13, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. With your hand raised, permit me to declare we're about to see your church rise up. Not one driven by political correctness, comfortability, lukewarmness, or apathy, but one driven by the Father, driven by the Son, driven by the Holy Spirit, a church that stands. Oh, I sense the Lord. We're gonna see a church rise up, families rise up that no longer lean but stand. We have to stand. We can't compromise. We have to stand. We have to stand. Oh, I sense God. Stand, you are standing with me. I was going to ask you to stand, but you are standing. Stand with me. Let me land this right here with this final. As you stand. They're battered, Pastor Robert. The ship is battered. They're going to lose the ship. The word of the Lord hits the apostle. Acts 27. Beautiful. One of the most amazing words you could possibly receive from heaven. Let me parenthetically contextualize it for our modern time. Hey, Paul, here's the word. Speak to me, God. Give me the word about this circumstance. Here it is. Paul, what a word, right? Like if you get this kind of word, you go like, what just? Paul, here's the word. You see that ship you're in? Yes. Yeah. You see that ship you're in? Yeah. In the middle of the storm, you see that ship you're in? Yeah. That ship will not make it. Who gives you that word? What? But the comma is powerful. The ship will not make it, but you will. Oh, I sense the Lord. For the next minute and 30 seconds, I want to speak to everyone that lost the ship, but you're still here. There are things that didn't make it in your life. There are relationships. There are ideas. There are seasons. There are even people. But even without that income, without the door, you're still here. You lost followers, but not your faith. You lost connections, but not the calling. You may even have lost your mind, but not your mantle. Hebrews 10:23, he is faithful to keep his promise. Isaiah 43:13, from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch away anything from my hand. No one can undo what I've already done. Philippians 3:8, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Yeah, even without that shit. So please, and I know we've all been through processes and moments and seasons where we lost something. But please stop saying, look what the devil did. And start shouting, look what the Lord has done. With or without that ship, you're still gonna make it to Rome. Let me call you out here for a second. We'll just pray over you and your house. By the way, little side note, hey Paul, not only are you gonna make it, read it, but everyone in the ship will make it too. Does anybody here come in agreement that we're about to see our family saved? How many believe here, Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you and your household will be saved? Anybody here ready to declare this new year, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house? If you believe everyone in your ship by faith will make it, give them the best praise you've given him in 2024 thus far. That's it. Let me pray over you. The thing fell apart. The ship fell apart, literally. This should be a movie. It really should be a movie. It falls apart. They hold on to pieces of the broken ship to get to the shoreline. Read it. Some people had the ability to swim and make it. Some had to hold on to broken pieces of the ship that fell apart. Because God does great things with broken pieces. Because the purpose of God is always greater than the brokenness of man. You know what I've discovered? That a wounded worshiper is still a worshiper. A broken praise is still a praise. And this will get the Pharisees upset. A prodigal son is still a son, and a prodigal daughter is still a daughter. With your hands raised, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. God does great things with broken pieces. If it's broken, God can fix it. If it's empty, God can fill it. If it failed, God can restore it. If it's sin, God can forgive it. If it's wrong, God can make it right. If it's crooked, God can make it straight. If it fell, God can pick it up. If it's paralyzed, God can make it move. And if it died, God can resurrect it for his glory. And that's the story on how he got to Malta. Are there any questions? Made it, broken piece of God. I'm cold. Let me just, here it is. Heat this thing up. Let me get some brushwood. In the brushwood was a snake. When the snake made contact with the what? The fire. It jumped out. It did its thing. Because snakes hate fire. Show me a church filled with holy fire, and I will show you a snake-free zone. Show me a house filled with holy fire, and I will show you a snake-free zone. Show me a marriage and a relationship and a company filled with holy fire, and I will show you a snake-free zone. Matthew 3:11, Holy Spirit and fire. Acts 2:3, I have given you authority to walk over all snakes and scorpions. Luke 10:19. You will be able to destroy all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. In 2024, your prayer regarding the snakes that come, the things that jump out for the purpose of poisoning and strangling, your integrity and destiny. Here's the word. Your prayer will stop them. Your praise will confuse them. Your peace will paralyze him. Your integrity will disarm him. And your resistance will make him flee. So everybody, do me a favor. This is the way we're going to kick off this year. Grab a hold of it right there. Of whatever vestige of darkness, whatever attempt of the enemy, you're going to shake off every single construct, every attempt of the enemy, anxiety, fear, depression, shame, condemnation, perpetual victimization, complacency, apathy, unbelief, unforgiveness, rejection, closed doors, negativity, toxic atmospheres. You're about to shake it off. So when I say now, I know it seems a little bit, you know, but no, there's power. Just, you're going to shake it off in the name of Jesus. Throw it into the fire, because you and your house this year, you're going to make it to your spiritual realm where the gospel of Jesus will shine through your testimony. And this year, more people will come to Christ as Lord and Savior through your testimony than all of your previous years combined. So here it is. Ready? Grab a hold of it. Some of you should be using both hands, because it's not a garden snake. Some of you have dealt with, like, yeah, boas. And here it is. Are you ready? When I count to three, I want you to shake off everything that in the past attempted to poison and strangle your God-ordained purpose and destiny. You're about to shake it off. Not just on your behalf, but on behalf of your family, your children, and your children's children. Do it right now. By the time you get home, no more vipers, no more snakes. Here we go. Ready? At the count of three, shake it off. And give God the biggest "I'm on my way to Rome" praise you've ever given him. One, tell your neighbor, give me some room. I need to shake some things off here. Two, ready? Because we don't lean. We stand. One, two, three, shake it off. Somebody give God your biggest praise. There is an anointing born out of adversity that empowers you to change the world. Raise your right hand. If you receive that anointing today, raise your right hand really high. If you receive it and you really receive it, raise both hands. Repeat after me. My faith will move mountains. Under this anointing, through the finished work of Christ, my shout will bring down walls. My family will be saved. My life will be light. My prayers will be answered. My harvest will be great. My walk will be righteous. My testimony will touch others. My words will heal. My praise will deliver. My morning will become dancing. And all of my actions, all of my words, all of my thoughts will declare, look what the Lord has done. I'm on my way to Rome. I'm on my way to Rome. Come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. If you got this word, raise your hand. And that's how Paul, that little trip to Rome, was it significant? That's why we're here. That Rome, that's when the gospel went viral. It went global. Because of that trip, to a great degree, yeah. And the same area the snake attacked was the same thing that God used to heal in that island of Malta. So if the enemy's been attacking it, God's about to use it. We're never going to make it to Rome unless we permit God to use the very areas that have been attacked in our lives to heal those around us. We're on our way to Rome. Heavenly Father, there is a church, a community, a family called Gateway. And those connected all around the world, come hell or high water, we as a church collectively, we're on our way to Rome. We're about to see the gospel reach more people than ever before in human history. More people will be saved, delivered, and healed, and transformed by the power of Jesus than ever before in human history. We're on our way to Rome. Thank you that we are anointed. Anointed for greater things. Anointed to stand, not to lean. To be driven by your purpose, your passion, and your promise. Anointed to make it even without the ships in our lives. We're still going to make it. Anointed to see your glory because you do great things with broken pieces. Anointed to shake things off. anointed for Rome. We give you the glory. We give you the glory. This is the year that each and every one of us in our respective houses will shine for the glory of Christ like never before. En el nombre poderoso de Jesús. May the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, the anointing of the Holy Spirit make this year the year you and your casa, you and your familia make it to Rome. Hey, Gateway, let's do one thing together. Just one thing. For the glory of Christ, are you ready? Let's go change the world. God bless you and God keep you. Let's do this.
Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to connect with us, text CONNECT to 71010 or visit gatewaypeople.com. We hope you have a great week.